about the lost art of praise. You say, well, how can it be lost? We do it all the time. Well, here's the question. Do we really? There is an art to real praise. And I'm not sure that we think about it often enough and teach each other and kind of work through it enough to make sure that we're really comfortable with what it means to praise. You know, in the days of praise music, we almost have said we worship by singing. And then when the worship is over, then the preacher preaches and we go home. I think that worship is a whole lot more than that. And praise is a whole lot more than singing. Now, singing is probably one of the most effective ways in which we praise the Lord, because it allows us to express ourselves in a meaningful way. And when we really sing, we can feel it from within, and it can be very real. So I understand, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with music. That actually, even according to Scripture and our experience, music is the greatest way to praise. But what I'm saying is it's not the only means of real praise. And music in itself is not praise. You can stand up and sing. You can read the words on the wall and sing every word. You can open the hymnal and sing every word of that great old hymn that you've loved forever and never really praise God. It's not in the music. It's in the heart. And so there is, I think, a lost art of praise. I want us to look at it very carefully this morning. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're in the Gospel of Luke at 19. And we're going to begin there at verse 37. Let me give you a little background here. This is what we always call the triumphal entry. Usually we look at this story one time a year, the week before Easter, on Palm Sunday. I want us to look at it, even though it's not that season of year, I want us to look at it from a different perspective today, because when we look at it carefully, we learn a lot about praising God. I want us to look at Luke 19. And we'll begin at verse 37 as Jesus is coming into town on that Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry. It says, "And as he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered and said, 'I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.'" As we look at that story, we learn two or three things. First, we learn that praise is a response to God. It is our response to God. You notice in that first verse there, it said he was approaching near the Mount of Olives, and there was a whole multitude of disciples who began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Why? For all the miracles which they had seen. There are two things right there in that one verse that show us why we respond to God through praise. We respond to Him through our praise. We respond to Him because of His presence. It says that when he had come, when he was there, the reason they were celebrating was that Jesus had arrived. That was the whole point of that triumphal entry, that parade. It was celebrating that he had come. His presence is worthy of our celebration. Messiah is right here, is what they were saying that day. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here he is. He's with us. You and I ought to have that same excitement every time we are reminded about the truth that God is with us. our God, the one who created us, the one who created all the universe, the one who has always been and will always be, chooses in his infinite grace and mercy and love, he chooses to be with us. That ought to cause us to praise. We praise him, we respond to him in praise because of his presence, but not only because of his presence, but also we respond to him in praise because of his power. Did you notice it said that they praised him as he arrived? They began to sing praises to him. And it says they shouted joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. They praised him because he had demonstrated who he was. They had seen it. Some of them had experienced it firsthand. George McCallop asks a good question. When it says that the multitude of his disciples gathered, he asks this question: who are these people? Think about that for just a moment, because this is no longer just the 12. This is a multitude of his disciples. Who are the people who praise him on that day? Well, we don't know any names, but I'll bet you that there was one fellow there named Bartimaeus who had been blind until Jesus let him see. I'll bet you that there was a lady there who at one time had an issue of blood for 12 years, and just by touching the hem of his garment, she was set free. I'll just bet you that that man who couldn't hear was now hearing the voices around him shout, "Hosanna." I'll just bet you that that man who was lame at one time was walking and dancing and singing and praising right along with the crowd. Who were these people? Perhaps they were some of those who were on the mountainside that day when it got lunchtime and there was nothing to eat, and Jesus took a few pieces of bread and a few fish and he made a feast for a multitude plus a bunch of leftovers. I'll bet you that these are the people who were there that day when the lady ran around telling all the folks she could find about the man who had stopped and talked to her at the well and changed her life. Who are these people? They were people who had recognized by their own eyes and perhaps their own experience the power of the awesome God whom they served. You see, we praise him in response. We praise him in response to his presence. He is here, and that's enough. We praise him in response to his power. Look at what he's done as he has demonstrated for us again that he really is who he says he is. Lewis Albert Banks tells of an elderly Christian man who was a fine singer. He learned that he had cancer of the tongue, and the surgery that was necessary for that problem was one in which it was going to affect him so much that he would never sing again. And so on the day of the surgery, as they're preparing him, he looks at the doctor and he says one more time, "Are you sure that I will never sing again?" The surgeon found it too difficult to answer, and so he simply shook his head no. The patient then asked if he could sit up for a minute. And so with the help of the doctors and the nurses around him, he sat up and he said to the group of people there that day, "I've had many good times singing praises to God, and now you tell me I can never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. It will be of gratitude and praise to God." And there in the doctor's presence, the man softly sang the words of Isaac Watts' hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I have breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall never be past. While life and thought and being last, or immortality endures." In other words, he said, "With my last notes, the last words I sing, I will sing praise to him, knowing that in my heart I'll be worshiping him forever." We praise as a response to God. The second thing that we learn from this great story is that our praise is recognition of God. We praise out of recognition of Him. Not only are we praising, not only are we responding to Him, but we are recognizing Him. You see verse 38 again. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They knew who Jesus was. And by the way, this is the only time that Jesus allowed people to make a big deal about who He was. Many times people realized He was Messiah and Jesus would say, don't tell anybody. Time's not right. Let's not make a big deal. This is the only time. As He is making His way to Calvary, it is of utmost importance that the world know who He is. And so this time, He allows the people to celebrate who He is. They gather around Him and they say, blessed is the King. He is the King of kings. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. It was Yahweh Himself who sent Messiah. It was God who sent His Son, Jesus. They say, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You remember when He was born, the angels sang, peace on earth and glory in the highest. And now as He makes His way toward the cross, the song is peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Why? Because now man can be right with God. We can experience that peace in heaven with Him. We praise as a way of recognizing who He is. I think that's the most important thing that you and I need to understand about praise this morning, is that praising God is recognizing who He is. It's where we take time to acknowledge that He is God and we are not. It's where we take time to think about what it means for Him to be God, and we consider all of His attributes and we praise Him, honor Him, bring Him glory for who He is. Exodus chapter 15 and 2 is the song of Moses. And Moses sings this song, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise Him, my Father's God. I will exalt Him. It is a song of praise because it is recognizing who God is. You see, when we praise God, we're not just throwing a lot of compliments His way. You and I praise each other sometimes with compliments that sound good because that's the polite thing to do. But you can't come up with a compliment that's too great for God. Everything you say that is worthy of Him is true. When we praise Him, we are recognizing who He is. Moses says, He is my strength. He's my song. The reason I sing is because of who He is. He is my salvation. Without Him, where would I be? He is my God. Not just the God, but He is my God. I recognize Him as the only true God. I will praise Him, my Father's God. I will exalt Him because of who He is. We praise Him for who He is. We thank Him for what He does. Notice the difference there, because I think there's a significant difference there. We praise Him for who He is. We thank Him for what He does. So often we'll say, God, we praise You for healing brother so-and-so. We praise You for taking care of the finances. Now, just be careful, because what you're doing is you're praising Him for stuff He does. Right? Really, what we mean is we thank You for what You do. What we want to learn how to do, the lost art, is to praise Him for who He is. Praise recognizes God. Matter of fact, I want to give you a challenge. Are you ready? Sometime between now and next Sunday, this week, I want to challenge you to praise God for 5 minutes and only praise for 5 minutes. Don't ask Him for anything. Don't thank Him for anything. Just talk to Him about who He is. Praise Him for 5 minutes. And I'll bet you'll see that we don't do that enough to be comfortable with it, to know how to fill even 5 minutes of acknowledging God and praising Him. I want to challenge you. Sometime this week, take 5 minutes. Don't make it about yourself at all. Don't make it about your family. Just praising God, talking to Him, recognizing Him for who He is. You see, God is the object of our praise. If what you do in church is a performance, it's not praise. It can't be both. You're either performing for the people around you, you're performing so that people see that you're here and respect you for being such a fine, upstanding person, or you're really praising God. But you can't have both. A young violinist spent years crafting his talent. His teacher was a master violinist, and at one of his performances he performed in this great concert hall. This young protege stepped up. He performed his best ever. His sound was sharp. His tone was crisp. He did everything just right. He handled the movements, and the style drew the audience into the story of the music. And after his final note, he started real strong, and then that final note faded into silence. And there was just a moment of hush, and then the place just went wild. Everybody was clapping. They stood. There was a standing ovation. You'd expect that he would just kind of soak all that in and love it, and maybe even take a bow or two. But instead, the folks noticed that he almost didn't even recognize all the noise around him. He went to the edge of the stage, and he was blocking those bright lights out of his eyes, looking up into the balcony, because his master, his teacher, was there that day. And he wanted to see how his teacher responded. And once he saw that his teacher was also on his feet applauding, then he was ready to take a bow. You see, it didn't matter what the crowd thought. It didn't matter if they thought he was great or thought he was awful. There was only one that really mattered to the violinist. When you come to church, when you sing, when you worship, when you praise, you do so for an audience of one. There's really only one that matters. If we put on a show or we try to impress, the one stops. Let me be careful. The one is not pleased and is not receiving that glory. Praise is our response to God. Praise is our recognition of God. And praise is our responsibility to God. Did you know that? If you are a child of God, if you're a believer, for that matter, even though folks don't understand or accept it, I'll even go so far to say that if you are alive, if you're a human being, it is your responsibility to praise the Almighty One. If we look at verses 39 and 40 in our text, some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Look at this chaos. They're making too much noise. What's all this hollering and screaming? This is not what good religious people do." And Jesus responded to them, "I tell you what, if these disciples become silent, even the stones will cry out. He will be praised." It is our job to do that. And if we don't do our jobs, the rocks are going to take over. The trees are going to sing His praise. He will be praised. It is our joyful responsibility to be the ones to lead that chorus of praise, to honor Him with who we are, to honor Him with our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, our acts of worship. You know, we still have Pharisees today. Don't get carried away. Don't sing too loud. Don't clap. Don't stand up too much. Don't sit down too much. If you don't do it the way I'm comfortable with, well, then you're not being religious enough. You got to do it my way or it doesn't really count. We got to be careful. Those who would so quickly demean or look down on others around them who do it differently, those who are too quickly to accuse someone else of being a little bit too charismatic, maybe. We have to be real careful, because Jesus said, I tell you what, if my followers don't praise me, the rocks are gonna, because my followers are doing what they were made to do. This is what it's about. Psalm 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, you people. Shout. Did you see that? Clap your hands, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. He is worthy of our praise. Who are we to say we're too religious to do too much of that? He is worthy. And He told us what it looks like. Claps and shouts and joy, voice of triumph. There was a conference at a Presbyterian church in Omaha. The people were given helium balloons. And they were told to release them at some point in the worship time whenever they felt expressing joy in their hearts. Since they were Presbyterians, they weren't free to shout hallelujah or praise the Lord or amen. And so off and on throughout the service, you'd see this balloon go up here and this one would go up here. And they finally had a way that it was okay for them to express what they were experiencing, to express the joy, to worship in a personal way. When it was over, there was about a third of the balloons that were unreleased. And I want to say to you this morning, let your balloon go. Let it go. We've got to get to the point where we stop worrying about how does our church do this. And instead we say, how does the Holy Spirit want us to do it today? We worship Him from the heart, not from tradition. We worship Him from the heart, not even just the voice. Praise is our responsibility. When we meet for worship, can I run the risk of being honest with you? When we meet for worship, some really worship from the heart. Others put on a show for the people around them. Others sit back, put their mind in neutral, and say, okay, somebody entertain me. Still others spend the hour complaining, giving the preacher dirty looks. If you don't want to bowl, why go to the bowling alley? If you don't want to see a movie, don't go to the movie theater. If you don't want to worship, don't come to church. That's what we do here. Praise is our responsibility to God. If you're going to come to worship, worship. Make it an experience within your heart and your mind and your soul. Make it a sacrifice of who you are. I'm not saying that you have to fake something religious. I'm saying be real and be enthusiastic. Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is lovely. Is that how we do praise? Let's, Let's recognize praise is our responsibility, and I personally don't want a rock doing my job. Praise is our response to God, and He desires it. Praise is our recognition of God, and He deserves it. Praise is our responsibility to God, and He demands it. He desires our praise. He deserves our praise. He demands our praise. You know, we say silence is golden, but there's one time when it's not. When God's people are called to praise Him, there ought to be joy. There ought to be song. There ought to be a voice of triumph. How can we be bought with precious blood and not cry out? How can we see the majesty of the Creator and not sing His praises? How can we experience the presence and power of God and not sing with joy? I want to challenge you this week. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You would indeed help us to accomplish that very thing, that we would honor You by fulfilling that for which we were created, that we would honor You by doing that greatest of tasks that we have, that is to worship You, to praise You. Lord, forgive us for substituting singing for praising. Help us instead to use singing as praise. Forgive us for substituting religious activity for worship. Forgive us for judging too quickly those around us or those in other congregations who would do things differently than us. Lord, we pray that You would help us get back to the heart of worship. Help us, each one of us, to make sure that we have accepted Christ personally. Help each one of us make sure that we are a child of God. And then help each one of us make sure that we are fulfilling our God-given role on this earth to bring You glory.